Welcome to the Princeton Laxcast. Jerry Price here with Princeton men's lacrosse coach Matt Madelon. Coach, welcome.
Happy to be back.
So a little bit of a rough start here to the Ivy League season for the Tigers, off to an 0-3 start after the 14-13 loss to Brown last Saturday in Providence. But still, I am the optimist at all times. And five regular season games remaining, plenty of time to get on a roll. Dartmouth, Harvard, and Cornell still ahead in the Ivy League. I feel like haven't done all the math on this, but if you win those three games, I think you're going to be in the Ivy League tournament. 3-3 usually gets you in, and wins over those three would, you know, especially the last two, would probably do the trick. So still a lot to play for your team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, that was a tough loss up in Providence. You know, I think down the stretch we just made too many mistakes. You know, a couple bad breaks, too many mistakes, and you know, unfortunately, we let one slip away. I am happy with how my team's responded this week in terms of practice and. You know, optimism is crucial. Belief is crucial. And that's something we have in our locker room. And I'm proud of how our guys responded. We just got to play a heck of a lot better lacrosse right now.
So it's hard to come away from the game at Brown saying that's a game that Princeton definitely should have won, because that makes it seem like Brown isn't a good team and Brown's a good team. What it is one of those situations where as the game unfolded and you got to the end, that's where the frustration came from letting it get away at the end, I think, from having the 2-1 goal leads and then having Brown get the game winner with 14.3 to go. And, you know, just like you could look back at some of the small mistakes or the small moments of the game that really manifest themselves and are the difference between a win and a loss. And I think that's part of what you try to preach to your team is to look at each situation, to look at each possession and understand the value of that possession and not really try to focus on the bigger picture of the game. And I think that the game against Brown really proved that.
Yeah, you're spot on. You know, we sent a message to our team earlier in the season and reminded them this week just about valuing each possession and almost turning it into a mini game and just really understanding, you know, even if you give up a goal here or there, being able to rebound and make the next play. You know, with that, you know, and you hit the nail on the head, you know, as frustrated as I sounded earlier when I said we made a few mistakes down the stretch, we made a few mistakes early too. You know, one of our goals was to come out, you know, win the first few minutes of the first quarter, set the tone emotionally, energy-wise, you know, and our execution just didn't back it up. You know, we force-fed the crease a few times, you know, threw the ball at, you know, one of our clearing middies feet. So, you know, some frustrating mistakes that didn't allow us to get off to the start we needed. Possession-wise, you know, we had the possession battle early in the first quarter. We should have been able to capitalize offensively. So that was a bit frustrating, but you're spot on. Even though at the end of the game, you know, we put ourselves in a position to win that game, even though we were unable to close it out. You know, Brown's a streaky team. We knew that. We knew that they can go on quick runs. We knew that they can go on emotional runs. You know, we just didn't do a good enough job limiting those opportunities.
But if you look, you know, when you look back to a game, is that what you're looking at? Because there was the possession where, you know, maybe there's 4.5 minutes to go. Princeton's up by one with the ball, and there's a turnover. And, you know, you don't really think of that in terms of the larger picture of the game. You're thinking about the goal at the end or how they tie it or the scramble off the faceoff or the shot that Bonafide took that hit the pipe. But that possession, say, the turnover came at just before a shot clock was going to be put on. And I think that at no point during that possession was Princeton really super aggressive and looking to go to the cage. And I think, do you look back at a possession like that as, you know, this is what you have to learn. You have to learn the situational value of everything that you're doing.
Sure. I mean, that was the message post-game, you know, just situational awareness and understanding time and tempo. Very uncharacteristic of a senior captain. You know, we just threw a ball flat-footed.
Right, but it wasn't
his own defense.
That wasn't his fault. I mean, you know, that
not
possession.
At all. It was a good read, and you're spot on. I mean, you know, they checked the zone. We slowed it down, managed the possession in and out of a couple of our zone looks, and they just got a read on it. You know, we had run the same look, you know, two or three times in terms of rotate spinning in that 1-4. Defenseman took a beat on a pass and made a turnover. So, you know, no, that check, that just, you know, when it comes to evaluating the film, that one seems frustrating and stands out to everyone because it was at the end of the game. But that turnover is the same as a flat-footed turnover in the first quarter, is the same as a flat-footed turnover to start the second half. They're all the same. It's just a lack of execution.
So the idea of trying to turn the page quickly on that game and then come back now with two out-of-league games, there's Stony Brook Saturday at 1 o'clock on Sherrod Field, and then a game at Siena Tuesday coming up. What when you're at this stage of the season and you got to step out of the league, knowing that you have these three league games after that, and you're dying to get back into the league and try to get some league wins. Where's the focus as you head into two final non-league games?
Oh, I mean, the focus is entirely on Stony Brook. These past handful of days, it's been entirely on Princeton lacrosse and making sure we're dialing in our systems, get back to playing our brand of lacrosse. And these guys just want another opportunity to get on the field. They want an opportunity to prove to the coaching staff that, they've learned from their mistakes and they can make the right plays.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the guys who have done really well lately. And let's start with Andrew Song and the goal he had at the end of the first half. It's his second goal of the season that puts him up there with Sam Gravett in 2015 and John Cunningham with five goals in 2010 as the long sticks who've had more than one goal in a season this decade. That goal, he has one left-handed and one right-handed now. And that was his offhand, a lot of awareness, big situation, knew he had to go to the goal, did, executed, scored. But he also, I think he had, nine ground balls in the game?
He had eight or nine ground balls. I mean, Andrew Song's been really impressive. He's a young guy that stepped up, and he owns the first pole position for us and does an outstanding job in the wing. We've been really happy with his production there. He's really smart and savvy when the ball's on the ground, and he's really opportunistic, and that's what we're looking for out of our long poles.
And then George Bond continues to play well. Armin Midgalchi continues to play well. The theme here being the freshman and sophomore group with, Chris Brown and Connor McCarthy and Philip Robertson, and it's a lot of guys who are freshmen and sophomores making a big contribution. I mean,
sure,
even, we've
had some injuries, and our upperclassmen are doing well. It's just a thin class. As our freshmen and sophomores are able to step in, they're able to just they're doing a good job. They make freshmen and sophomore mistakes, but they've done a nice job bringing energy and really learning from the upperclassmen.
And I didn't even mention Chase Williams, who can't, he seems, because of the football and the lacrosse, seems like he's a senior more than a sophomore. And then Jasper Arnold's gotten out there as well as a short stick. And, Jasper's probably a guy that you didn't really expect a lot out of when he became part of your program, and he's actually fitting fairly well.
No, Jasper's been great for us. He came on, he comes from the St. Albans school. He came on as a, as a walk-on for us, made our team. We actually shifted him. He came in as an offensive middy. We actually put a pole in his hands last year. He did a great job in between the lines, running as a scout team pole. And then we shifted him back to the defensive midfield position this year, and he's just done a good job. He's got good feet, good base underneath him, and he's still learning as well.
I told you in Portugal he would be a player.
Yeah, look, he's athletic and fast, so we're happy.
So looking ahead to Stony Brook, they beat St. John's early in middle of the week. They're a team that has had some interesting results so far this year, and maybe the most telling one for them is a loss, but it was 13-7 to Albany in a game that was not 23-7 Albany, considering that Albany won 24 out of 24 faceoffs in that game against Stony Brook. It's actually not a terrible showing against the number one team in the country. So what kind of team is Stony Brook? What have you seen from them?
Stony Brook's a really good team. Coach Nagel always does a good job preparing his team, and having them being super organized and ready to play. So we expect nothing different. They've definitely had a slower start this year, probably slower than they would like, but they seem to be playing really good lacrosse right now. So we're excited. They're good defensively. They got a good couple poles that are big, offensive-minded. They're rotating a handful of guys at the faceoff X, but they've got some really talented Canadian guys on offense. They run some good systems, so I think it's going to be a great matchup.
And then the rivalry from Princeton and Stony Brook, it was 92 and 93. Princeton played Stony Brook, both games at Princeton. Princeton won both. Actually, one game was at Stony Brook, as I recall now. But one game at Princeton, one game at Stony Brook. And then the rivalry resuming 4 years ago, they played three times, so four seasons ago, and Stony Brook won the first two, Princeton winning last year at Stony Brook. It's a nice little team to be able to play. They're close. They're usually pretty good. Do you see this rivalry continuing? Is this something that...
Yeah, look, with the Ivy schedule, it's really funny. We're one of the few sports that our Ivy schedule does not rotate, or we're one of the few leagues in Division I lacrosse where your schedule doesn't rotate. So we play the same teams every year at the same time, and this just happens to be our bye week, and you've got to get lucky to find other good competitive teams, and great programs with the same bye week as you. So we're really fortunate. Coach Nagel and I have had a few conversations. It works out that and they've been a top team in the American East over the past year. So it's a good game to schedule. It's a good test at this point in our season. you know, he does a great job with this program.
And then Siena Tuesday, because we won't talk again until after that. You know, it's the first time Princeton will play Siena. Just looking for extra games, I assume, to fill the schedule out. How'd you end up with Siena at
Sure.
Siena
I mean,
on
we're
Tuesday?
Still reworking our schedule. You know, our goal this year was to get Rutgers to a Saturday game as a longtime rivalry game, and then just a wonderful game for the state of New Jersey and high school lacrosse and youth lacrosse. So Coach Brecht and I were really pushing to get that game. So it shifted our schedule around with the addition of Virginia. You know, we were trying to find a handful of midweek games. You know, and Siena, came, you know, an opportunity came to play Siena, and, you know, it just works out that, you know, we're heading there this year. But looking forward to the contest. You know, my goal always is to give as many opportunities to our guys to play as possible. You know, I don't want to, you know, I would never want to put them in a position where we're playing a handful of midweek games. Last year, I think we played 5 of them. This year, only 2. So we've got to find the balance there. But we're, you know, we're playing a 13-game schedule, and I think 13, 14 is the magic number. 15, you know, you can play on a good, you know, on a year where, you know, the schedule sets up nicely. But again, our, you know, my goal, you know, as a coach is to get these guys as many opportunities to play the game as possible.
So it'll be Princeton and Stony Brook. That game is Saturday. Face off at 1:00 on Sherrod Field. The game at Siena is Tuesday. If you're in the Albany area, you can come out and see that one. And honestly, I have no idea what time the game starts. 3?
It's a 3 p.m. game, yep.
I guess I did. So it's 2 games, and then we'll be back next week for the LaxCast. We'll talk about those 2, and then we'll look ahead to the stretch drive in the Ivy League. It goes Dartmouth, Harvard, Cornell, and you know, realistically, Princeton's going to need all 3 of those to get in the Ivy League tournament, but it's a good challenge for a team, and it knows where it stands, and be exciting to see how they approach that.
Absolutely. Thanks a bunch.
Coach Madelon, thanks for being with us here on the Princeton LaxCast.
Thank you.
I am Jerry Price for Coach Madelon. We're here every week on the Princeton LaxCast. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for your support of Princeton men's lacrosse.